Thanks, Liana. I wonder if you have ever been a victim of baby spam. That's when a friend has a baby and their baby is the cutest baby in the world, the best baby in the world, the most important news for everyone to know about. Their Instagram feed goes from what they ate to instead the cutest baby, the baby farting, the baby pooing, the baby smiling. Everybody needs to know everything. You might have seen that in a different sort of way in grandma's brag book, that she has all the photos of the new grandchild who's come along. Very cute, very cute. And I wonder why Christmas seems to be the biggest situation of baby spam ever. Not only does this baby and photos get paraded around and put in front of everyone's face for a season, but for every season, comes back Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, this baby in the manger. And the angels announce that it is good news for everyone. So what's so special about this when every baby is claimed to be the cutest in the world, every baby is claimed to be the best baby in the world, every baby, every mother will enter their baby in the Bond's beautiful baby competition and think they're going to win? Well, Jesus' birth is good news for everybody because he is not just a new member of Mary and Joseph's family, but in fact, he is an invitation for us all to be part of God's family. That is the wonderful news of Christmas. That is the uniqueness of Christ, and that's what I want to share with you today. This is the good news of Christmas. God stepped into this world and offered us the opportunity to be part of his family, the chance to be a child of the Heavenly Father, the opportunity to be a child of God with all the privileges and benefits that come with it. You know, there are four biographies of Jesus in the Bible. You probably know of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Have you ever played Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the others. One of these things is kind of the same. Well, if we sit these four biographies of Jesus up next to each other, there is one that stands out in stark difference, and that's John. That's what we read today. We don't get the cute nativity scene in John, do we? We get the Star Wars version with light and darkness and boom, 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 boom. It's dramatic, isn't it? As it's read to us, it's very, very different. And that's because John doesn't want us just to know, isn't he cute? This lovely baby, he's the fulfillment of the promises. He wants to see not just that this baby is born, but who this baby is. Because when we talk about Jesus' birth, is it anybody's birthday today? No? My grandma had her birthday on Christmas Day. It's always difficult to know how to celebrate it. But Jesus' birth is not his beginning. When we celebrate Jesus' birthday, we are not celebrating his beginning as we would be by everyone else's birthday. Because Jesus is the pre-existent Son of God who was there not just at the beginning of his life, but at the beginning before creation. He is the maker and sustainer of all of the world. This is not just a baby in a crib gooing and gahing, but the all-powerful creator and sustainer of the universe. So let me read these first five verses of this dramatic Christmas story from John's Gospel. But first, I'll give you a hint. When it says the Word, it's speaking of the eternal Son of God who was born as a baby on the first Christmas. He's speaking about Jesus. So these first five verses of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, the beginning before anything. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Before the world was made, Jesus was there. Before the very first day, before the sun started shining, Jesus was there as the eternal Son of God. Through him, all things were made, every intricate part of this creation. He made it all. And he continues to uphold and sustain the universe and be the light of all mankind. Just as we here on earth are completely dependent on the sun to give us energy and keep this world turning, we are completely dependent on God the Son to uphold the universe and sustain all life. The darkness of sin has many times caused God to consider destroying his creation and chucking it all in, like the flood with Noah. But darkness has never triumphed. God, in his goodness, continues to sustain and uphold the earth. As light and life depends on the eternal Son of God, he is the center of all things. You know how scientists are always trying to find the unifying principle to help us understand all life and the universe and everything? Well, this is it. Jesus is it. He is the answer to every why question. It always comes down, if you keep asking why, as an annoying six-year-old always will, the answer always comes back to Jesus. He is the maker and sustainer of all things. In the beginning was the Word. We get a pretty dramatic change of scene then in verse 6. It goes from the cosmos and the creation and the light and life of all mankind to some bedraggled man who's a bit strange out in the desert called John. That's quite a change of scene, isn't it? And so in verse 6 we get introduced to this guy who dresses funny, eats locusts and wild honey, we know that from other parts of the Bible, and lives in the desert. John was human and very fragile. Not that important, really. It's incredible that God would choose to use people like John the Baptist, and dare I say it, even you and I, to be witnesses to testify concerning the light that is Jesus. God uses flawed, ordinary people like me and you to be his witnesses. And John the Baptist was witnessing to something incredible. Because as we see in verse 9, this universe creating and sustaining light of the world didn't just stay distant, but came into the world. And this is why the birth of Jesus is such a big deal. This is baby spam worth perpetuating. He's not just another cute Instagram baby. He's the eternal Son of God who created and sustains the universe. But he didn't stay out there. He came here for you and I. Through him, all things were made. He is the light and life of all mankind. So when he comes, what would we expect? A great party. Welcome. You made me. You own me. Everything I have is from you. Welcome. But instead, we see in verses 8 to 11 a complete lack of recognition. No one even notices. It says, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Do you know that your house doesn't actually belong to you? It belongs to Jesus, and it could be taken from you at any moment. Some of you in this room have experienced that very thing. In fire. Do you know that your children don't belong to you? They belong to Jesus. He sustains their every breath, and he gives them everything they need for life. And yet, when the creator and sustainer of the universe enters our world, we don't recognize him. We don't acknowledge him. And it's not just a feature of first century Palestine that they didn't receive him because he's born in a stable in a remote place and it was a bit out there. But today, so often we don't welcome Jesus. In fact, we reject and ignore him because we want to be the center of our own lives. We don't want anyone displacing our own prerogative to be the one to decide what I will do and what I like and what I want and what I'm going to do with my life. It says there, not only did the world not recognize the eternal Son of God become flesh, but in verse 11, his own people, the Jews, didn't receive him. The Jews had the Old Testament promises of their Messiah. They should have been expecting him, and yet they completely rejected him. Most of you here probably say, I'm one of God's people. But we, God's people, yet still live our own lives, our own way in rejection of him. But in verse 12, we see nonetheless some people do receive Jesus, and the most incredible thing happens. To those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. This isn't just an announcement of a new child for Mary and Joseph's family. This is an announcement of an invitation for all to be part of God's family. All who would put their trust in Jesus in repentance and faith turn to him. So to be a child of God is the best place to be. Remember, he is the light and life of all mankind. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. And so to be called a child of God is to be in the most secure and safe place there is. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what turmoil is going to unfold around us in 2023, it feels like they've all come and gone, haven't they? What could be left, but we don't know. No matter what it is, we will be safe as a child of God, trusting in Jesus Christ, part of his family. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen to us, but it does mean we belong, and we belong in eternity. So how does this happen? How can one become part of this family, be a child of God? How can we receive him now? Well, it says there, to receive him, they're born, verse 13, not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. This happens by grace, not by our effort, but by God's gracious gift of life to us, by God's undeserved favour. We live in the mess. You see that in the video at the start of the service. We live in the mess of this world. Every single one of us is a sinner in need of a saviour. And into that darkness and brokenness shines the light of Christ. And this is great and wonderful news, because Jesus was not just born, he grew up to die on the cross to take away our sin, that we might be reconciled to God and forgiven and adopted into his family and be his children. This is glorious and wonderful news. And it doesn't happen by normal birth. We think we might be able to achieve it. I can be good enough for God. It's easy for people to think that a Christian is someone who does the right thing, who goes through the hoops. Not at all. A Christian is someone who knows they are a sinner, unworthy of God, and turns to Christ and says, I am sorry. Please forgive me and accept me into your family. It's absolutely mind-blowing that in order for God to make himself known to us, he came down. It can't be by normal birth or normal means that we can become part of God's family. And so in verse 14, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He is Emmanuel, God with us, so that we can be with him, part of his family. He has always been the one giving light and sustaining the universe. That's what we saw in those first five cosmic verses of John chapter 1. But now, having come into the world, he has brought that light into our darkness, so that without any ability ourselves to be forgiven and reconciled to God and part of his family, he has achieved it for us. Christmas is the incredible news that God would choose to become one of us so that we might become one with him, so that we might receive forgiveness and have the opportunity to be adopted by grace, received by grace into his family, and receive, as we read at the end of that chapter, or verses, grace upon grace already given. So this Christmas, look to Jesus and find security and hope. Be a child of God and part of his family. This Christmas, put your trust in Jesus. Then by his grace, you will be one of his children, adopted into his family. And perhaps God might even put you on his Instagram feed. Here's a new child of mine, as the angels celebrate, as God rejoices at one of his lost ones that has returned to him and by the work of Christ has been forgiven and reconciled and welcomed back into the family. A child of God. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we praise you so much for the wonderful news of this baby born at Christmas time, who is not just a cute and cuddly one worthy of Instagram, but is the Lord and Master of the universe, the maker and sustainer of all that is, the light and life of all mankind. And so we pray that not only would we recognize him, but we would bow down in worship. That we would repent and turn from our sin and place our trust in Christ for forgiveness and reconciliation and adoption into his family, that we might be your children.